Coming down the aisle at a combined weight of 436 pounds, the team of Jeffrey Martin, Brian Berga, the Jersey Wrecking Crew.
You are listening to the High Spot Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at High Spot Podcast and all social media platforms. Follow us on the Instagram, Snapchat, and our Facebook page. Also, you can follow us on iTunes, where you can leave a review, write a comment, and also subscribe. We really appreciate it, and we really love to hear from you guys. How the heck are we going to know if we're doing a good job or not, right? Right, Trendsetter? Anyway, I'm Jeff Martin, Trendsetter. We are recapping the week that was in professional wrestling. We are 1 week closer to SummerSlam. Great show for you guys. Today, we are joined by Mark Adam Haggerty, ring announcer extraordinaire. He will join us in a little bit. But Trendsetter, I think we are both pulling a hero here out of a hat, because neither I nor you sound 100%, but we're doing it because we love it. It's a labor of love. And again, we always go by the motto, WWJD, what would Jericho do? And Chris Jericho would come on here and give you 100% on his podcast, and that's what we're going to do. Trendsetter, I don't have to ask, but how you doing, my friend?
I think Jericho would be proud. Yeah, we're not sounding our best, but this is our deep, sexy, late-night voices for all you listeners out there. So enjoy it, because it doesn't last very long. I mean, if I think my voice sounded terrible to begin with, it sounds even worse now.
I've been told I sound better congested than not.
Well, everybody says I have a deep voice to begin with, so now with this, it's even deeper, so it probably sounds even worse. But hey, some people have that, though. I like your normal voice, though. As annoying as it is, when it's taken down an octane, it's hard. I think people do understand this, but like when you're sick or under the weather, or in this case, congested, when you're trying to go over-modulate your voice, that's when you even sound worse. So right now, we're trying to keep it calm. We talk about the topics here, not get a little too overexcited. And like a great man once said, Jeff, they're all not going to be home runs.
They're all not going to be home runs.
But we'll do our best.
We're at least going to try to get a double here today. We're at least trying to get a run in, a run score. Exactly. Maybe cut the lead down to maybe 1 or 2.
Don't need home runs. You keep in singles.
No, small ball.
Get points on the board.
Maybe Mark Adam Haggerty can, you know, drive us in. We're on third base. Hopefully his interview will get us right into the lead, or maybe even tie the game.
Oh yeah, talk about sounding different. We're definitely going to be sounding different when we have Mark on, exactly.
Oh yeah, you'll be able to tell how long ago we had the interview with Mark.
Wasn't that long ago?
You know, talking about voices, right before we came
Don't
on.
Break the illusion.
Right before we came on. Listen, yeah, the magic of radio and podcast.
Continuity.
Right? Continuity. Before we came on, you played for me.
Keep thinking of that Jimmy Fallon thing that we saw. The Tonight Show, when he had, what was the guy from The Hangover? He was doing the play about the bones and stuff like that as Bradley couldn't stop laughing.
Oh God. Bradley Cooper.
Yeah,
we're going to try to keep it professional, you know. Yeah.
Guys, check it up on YouTube if you get
it. Like I said, Mark Adam Haggerty will help us keep it professional, at least for a little bit of the show. But, you know, we started out and you started playing for me for some reason. You were like, yo, Jeff, did you check out this The Dark Knight, but voiced by
Kevin Conroy.
Yeah. And I was like, no, I did not see this. And I'm looking at it.
I just saw it a couple days ago.
He's truly Batman.
He is. For
no
those
offense
who don't,
to Christian Bale.
No offense to any of the people who portrayed Batman. But when you think of Batman, the animated series, we've talked about this before, not extensively, but it was really ahead of its time, because it was the first time like an animated cartoon, just on Fox Kids on the Fox network. It was just new, because it took that new dynamic of Dark Knight being darker and, you know, portraying that voice. And a lot of people think, oh, it's just voice acting, it's not that important, or it's not that prestigious. It really is. And a guy like Kevin Conroy, he encompasses what Batman is.
Well,
and Mark Hamill, who does the voice of the Joker, does the exact same thing.
Did the famous Joker scene in Dark Knight about the why so serious.
Mm-hmm.
And man, Brian, you got to get one of these guys on.
I'm working on it, dude.
I've done my homework on these comic book characters.
Oh, the Moody Barber would love it if I had Kevin Conroy or Mark Hamill
on.
He'd actually
listen, except when he's not on.
Yeah, because he's always freaking moody all the time.
Oh, man, heroes, villains, man. You know, you don't know. You know, sometimes you root for the hero, sometimes you're about the villains. And depending, if you're professional wrestling, sometimes the villains are cooler than the heroes.
Yeah. Oh, in society nowadays, everything is shades of gray. It's not black and white anymore. It's like, you actually like the heels and the villains because they're cooler, or at least they're more relatable. We have, you know, good cookie cutter, you know, baby faces going out there saying, I'm going to try my hardest. I'm going to go give it 110% every single time. And with a smile on my face, it becomes more of like a mocking. Like, for example, look at Tim Tebow, for example, right? He's doing nothing but being a stand-up guy that he is, and people just hate him. because he's just a nice guy.
I feel like he's taking an opportunity from somebody, but come on, man. The guy, let him live out his dream, whether it's Tim Tebow or not. You
who's
know
it hurting,
mean?
Basically?
Who exactly? Who's your, taking a spot away from the 25th man? I mean, come on. Let's not be so open to just targeting people, especially guys like Tim Tebow. Just because you don't understand or, you know, you don't get it doesn't mean you have to diss it. But, you know, I'm glad you're probably wondering why I even came up with this whole hero-villain thing, right? And there's a method to my madness. Because what I wanted to talk about...
Ooh, method to the madness.
Method to the madness. The cream rises to the top. Yeah, and that's why this topic is going to be so good. Because I want to talk to you about something. And we'll be recapping, you know, the week that was in WWE and all professional wrestling in just a little bit. But one of the topics that kind of, you know, has to do with what I brought up in the beginning is heroes. And also people that, you know, sometimes you do good and you can't be that nice. And I want to talk about Bayley because something crazy happened in Toronto, something that WWE was just bizarre world. And that's actually Bayley got booed. And I saw the, you know, social media and I saw the Twitter saying, wow, you know, they're booing Bayley. How can this be? Oh, Bayley, she's been booked wrong. But I just got to tell you one thing. Sometimes it's just you're too nice. And no one's going to like that. You have to have an edge. And whether she's been booked wrong since maybe after WrestleMania, maybe. But you gotta admit this, Bri. You know, part of it is on her and how she needs to get better in the promos, dude. She can't let something like a couple of boos, whether, you know, they're targeted for her or not, they can't let that bother her. Charlotte was a main example of WrestleMania 2 years ago where she got flustered and she lost the whole promo. The same thing happened this past Monday night on Raw in Toronto. Just your thoughts real quick. I think that Bayley needs to find an edge, find an in-between median, and also she's got to get over this promo-itis because right now she's looking like a huge bust ever since being called up to NXT, from NXT.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to disagree with the fact that from a booking standpoint, we can safely agree. I'm sure everybody who's listening to the show and people who just talk about wrestling in general will agree. The booking that when she came up from NXT to now has just been terrible. It could be the fact that, you know, the manner in which she came up from NXT, the lack of momentum, because at that time it was a whole Charlotte Sasha Banks rivalry and she was getting lost in the shuffle. But in terms of connecting with the audience and going out there now, you and I have been on record to say, too, and this is even prior to us doing the show, sometimes just in conversation, that, you know, when it came to NXT, Bayley was like the John Cena. Like, she was like literally what you'd want as a poster child for NXT, merchandise sales and stuff like that. So she was like the female version of John Cena, in my opinion. So when she comes up to the main roster, you know, it's there's a period where you have to reintroduce yourself to the audience because not a lot of people, as much as we'd want to believe, and you guys can listen to us on NXT Weekly when we do our podcast there as well for the fans podcast, is that a lot of people, the general audience, doesn't watch a program like NXT, which is on the network. So it's that ability to reintroduce yourself. I think from a booking standpoint, yes, in the manner in which she was placed on the card affected her. But also, like you said, 100% goes to Bayley to try to get that across because we mentioned it with Sasha Banks. Crying every single time an emotional thing happens, it gets kind of, you get kind of tired of
it. And it's made me dislike her all in general.
Yeah,
the fact that she's messing with Miss Bliss, too, is kind of bothering me. But the fact that she cries all the time. I mean, you know, you're the boss. You're not, you know, the crybaby.
And for all the ability that a woman like Charlotte, Sasha Banks, and Bayley have in the ring, let's be honest here, and if we're really going to call it down the middle, their abilities to be on the microphone are pretty substantial and mediocre at best. I mean, Sasha was always best as a heel.
Alexa's the best.
She can antagonize the crowd. Alexa has proven, no matter what, she can control the crowd. And that's something I feel like Bayley has lacked for such a long time. She got cheered. Everybody was behind her in NXT. Now you have a different dynamic, a different crowd that doesn't want to hear the same thing over and over again because us as an audience feel you're insulting our intelligence. So for Bayley to acknowledge it, kind of like what Charlotte did, like you mentioned, post-WrestleMania, after WrestleMania, I believe it was 32 in Dallas, getting flustered by the audience. When you show that reaction that you're getting flustered, don't understand why they're reacting a certain way, you're basically feeding the audience more reasons to resent you for the fact that you're not prepared for it. And it just shows you how scripted everything is because as soon as they miss a word or miss a certain something wasn't supposed to happen,
she was thrown off.
You get thrown off and it looks that much worse.
Yeah, she kind of looked like she was like, whoa, you boo me? You boo me? Like, you know, it's like, whoa, she kind of took it personal.
Yeah, she got offended. I mean, she's injured and doesn't want to hear that. She's vulnerable to begin with. My thing
is that she hasn't portrayed is that she hasn't shown the edge. Even John Cena, I mean, look at him on this past Tuesday night. Yeah. He goes and calls Baron Corbin skinny, fat dumpster fire. I mean, even he, even John Cena, Mr. Good Guy, hustle, loyalty, and respect, he's got, you know, he's got the comeback. He's always able to dish it. And that's what Bayley doesn't have, whether she's scared, whether she's not comfortable with herself, whether she doesn't feel like she comes off right. Her promos need to get better. Her wrestling skill, it's been fine, but she needs to find that edge. Even if she did, for example, the Hogan, where she gets beat up, and then all of a sudden, you know, she gets punched, and then she hulks up and stuff like that, and she does that. She needs to find that streak. And then she's talking about on the Stone Cold Steve Austin podcast, maybe if I turn heel, maybe that's something I need. No, you don't. You just need to control your character. You're Bayley. You're better off as a goody good. You're better off, but find that in between. Find that edge that when, you know, when push comes to shove, you're gonna fight back because people will respect that. You can stand for something, but you need to back it up. You need to fight for it and show that edge. And that's what I think is missing. I don't think she needs a heel turn.
I think that's an easy response when something like that happens. Oh, let's basically turn them heel in this way. They'll boo them, but the audience being as, you know, rebellious as they are will most likely cheer them when they're a heel. So have the opposite effect. I don't agree with the very simplistic nature of, oh, since they're booming now, I'll just turn heel. There has to be a reason behind it. We talk about Roman Reigns, we talk about John Cena for so many times. Oh, they should turn heel. This way it would be more believable. I think the main thing we need to focus on this, Jeff, is that there needs to be some sense of authenticity. Listen, when Bayley gives her promos, I really do feel she's being authentic because that's how she feels. She talks about how she was when she's a kid. She portrays this character as a little, you know, as a grown-up that hasn't grown up yet. She's still that 6 or 13-year-old kid, you know, living her dream. I get it. But there has to be a point, like you mentioned. John Cena, he owns it. John Cena is not, in my opinion, portraying a character so much on TV as opposed to he's just being himself. With Bayley, it feels like she's somewhere in between and can't figure it out, and it comes off bad on TV. And if you're Vince McMahon or anybody in production, you see that, especially what happened on Monday night in Toronto and the crowd reacting and you getting flustered. That's just blood in the water, man.
When you talk about the kendo stick match, man, all you had to do, honestly, is during the match, if you have that kendo stick, feel conflicted, feel like, oh, you know, and then maybe just look at the kendo stick. Is it worth it? But then when you realize the women's championship at stake and you know that this is something you fought for, then use it. Freaking use it with gusto. And then people will be like, yeah, you know what? She's got to do whatever it takes to win. And yeah, that's how we can respect it. But, you know, one reaction to another. Now, whether she can, you know, save it or what her future is and whether she recovers from this separated shoulder.
Well, she'll have time to think about it because she will be taking some time off now to rehab her shoulder.
And we're going
to
have Nia Jax and Sasha Banks next week to determine who goes on to take on Alexa Bliss, who's killed it on the mic. And if there is one reason why she is the women's champ on Raw, is because of that. She has done her best job on the mic and she can handle it. I mean, perfectly. She feels no sympathy for Bayley, you know. She doesn't respect weak people. Awesome. Mic drop right there.
Exactly. Everybody stayed quiet and couldn't say anything, and like they're stumbling over themselves to see who says what next and what question. But here's the thing, as much as, you know, and I never wish for injuries to happen, it's a part of the business, but here the WWE has now an opportunity to make a positive out of a negative, basically trying to have the match for the Raw Women's Championship that they should have had in the beginning in the first place should have been Sasha Banks and Alexa Bliss. There is some backstage heat between these two. It's been documented they don't like each other, but the last time they're in the ring, they had a really good match and have some chemistry. Usually the people who don't like each other have the best chemistry with each other. So this way, the WWE has a chance to rectify it. To see a Sasha Banks, Alexa Bliss, if that does happen, would be a save, because I wasn't really excited to see a Bayley Alexa Bliss after the last two performances that they had in the ring together, one on a pay-per-view. It didn't move me. And, you know, the chemistry lack thereof was really affecting my enjoyment of the storyline here with Sasha Banks and Alexa Bliss, if that becomes your match at SummerSlam. So much more you can dive into. It is very personal, and a storyline sometimes bleeds into real life.
Yeah, don't right or wrong because of bad booking. Right or wrong because we weren't given the match we wanted to see. Yeah. And that's what we're mostly going to get at SummerSlam. But, you know, from one reaction to another, a little mixed reaction for Jason Jordan as he, you know, came out to Canada crowd. And here's the thing. When you put a Canadian jobber, and in quotations, because I don't think anyone's a jobber, anyone who wrestles there, you have my respect. When you put, you know, someone from the area to take on Jason Jordan, kind of makes no sense because, you know, the crowd is going to be pro-Canada. So kind of got no reaction for Jason Jordan coming out to the ring, and it leaves you puzzled. And listen, I'm the first one to say it. Us covering NXT, me covering a little bit longer than you, I've seen Jason Jordan. he got no reaction until he was put in with Gable, okay? Gable, to me, was the guy that was getting the best out of Jason Jordan.
He was the mouthpiece of the team.
Now, if he's going to be by himself, listen, he's shown me in NXT that he's a great wrestler, but just everything else, the charisma, you know, he better find it fast because WWE could get bored really fast with this guy unless he's going to turn heel and it is all a way to devise a ruse of Kurt Angle to use the name Angle. Maybe that'll work out, but, you know, like I said, look back at NXT. Look at him before Chad Gable. And the Jason Jordan that you saw back then, really, a lot of people were sitting on their hands, and a lot of people sat on their hands in Toronto.
I'm sure a guy like Jason Jordan was excited to kind of separate himself from a tag team. But like you said, you're right. Chad Gable, to me, was the mouthpiece of that team. He was the ability to kind of have you invested in it. Taking nothing away from Jason Jordan, tremendous athlete. He shows it. I have a sense, though, that history tends to repeat itself, Jeff, because what I'm looking at, the fact that he's not getting any reaction at all, kind of reminds me of a Kurt Angle when he first debuted in the WWE, where nobody was liking him, nobody was cheering him. They actually looked at him in terms of the cookie-cutter babyface that he was at that time and started to resent him for it. I think that's going to happen, but the difference is I think WWE, like I'm talking like Kurt Angle now, WWE will be more resistant towards that because they don't just want to be repetitive. But again, when you talk about WWE or anything in general, everybody always just rehashes old storylines. So I think, yeah, I'm worried for Jason Jordan, but it's still early, but he's got to show us something. His past promos, talking to Renee Young backstage or going out there, have not been very convincing. And patience runs thin, especially when you're Vince McMahon. And if you don't get that reaction, let alone a reaction at all, there's something wrong here. And there's a reason why Jason Jordan was in limbo for so long in NXT before he formed a tag team with Chad Gable. Is because he is uncomfortable talking. He better get over that quick, otherwise it'll be a short storyline with him and Kurt Angle.
If I go to you, Brian, listen, there's this curse going around. It's called the NXT curse. What's the first thing you think of if I said to you of an NXT curse?
Vince McMahon is the first thing I think of. Because to me, I think he's the reason of the curse.
Well, what if I said, how about injuries as well? You had Finn Balor last year with the shoulder separation, with the torn labrum.
Yeah.
This year you have, for example, Bayley, who's out of SummerSlam with a shoulder injury, separated shoulder. And Sasha Banks, yeah, I was a little scared of her because she couldn't lift that arm up towards the end of the match against Emma and
Alicia Fox.
Emma and Alicia Fox. And now we get to Scott Dawson. Bicep injury. It's going to require surgery. And so we went from a broken jaw to Dash Wilder to a biceps injury to Scott Dawson. This is kind of an alarming, maybe it's just bad coincidence, but it's kind of alarming when you see the NXT guys come up with injuries and their push gets, you know, they get pushed. They were going to have probably a matchup with the Hardy Boys and then has to be derailed because of injury. It's coincidence or can you start calling it a curse?
I think it's coincidence. I don't really say a curse. The reason why I put Vince McMahon's name in there, Jeff, is just for the mere fact when I think of curse, it's, you know, Vince McMahon, as much as he somewhat praises NXT, he doesn't really believe in it and thinks they have to pay their dues all over again, which I understand to a degree because you have a different audience that you're appealing to. I think it's just bad luck right now, really, because, you know, you can't really pinpoint a particular thing that somebody's doing. They're doing the same stuff they did in NXT. Granted, the schedule is longer. The traveling is a lot more grueling, but to me, it makes no difference. I mean, look at guys like Kevin Owens, Charlotte, Sasha Banks, obviously, to agree, she's been injury prone, but I think there have been more positives than negatives when it's come from the NXT roster. I mean, you and I even talked about it before, you know, with Finn Balor, when we start breaking down SummerSlam that we're going to go to in Brooklyn, it's like, does the demon come out? Because last time the demon was out during SummerSlam, he got injured, and you're like, that's just a freak accident. I think a lot of these are just freak accidents, bad timing, just bad luck. So I don't really think there's a curse for anybody, because if you ask anybody in NXT, they want to be up in the main roster, but since we cover NXT, why would you want to go up to the main roster? Because you're going to just get buried under bad booking.
Especially the way it's looking right about now.
Yeah.
The NXT roster, you know, I could be happy there. I mean, look at, you got a guy like Drew McIntyre that's in there. You've got Bobby Roode. You've got a bunch of guys that if you go down there, you know, you could be, you know, you could have a career right there. But I know the main thing is,
and everything gets done for you too. I mean, meals get planned for you. You go on the bus. You wear track suits. You have to worry about your wardrobes. You're getting to certain places. They do it all for
you. You sleep. Yeah, I mean, it's,
and you train 24/7, 24 hours, 7 days a week. Oh, big deal.
But of course, everyone's dream is Raw and SmackDown roster. So, you know, teach their own. But yes, you know, for every bad luck, you could tell me all the other people that came up from NXT and didn't have the injuries. But, yeah, you know, it's, you're starting to see a trend here, and we hope that the revival, listen, I think that the Bullet Club, I think that the Young Bucks and Cody Rhodes, I think they cursed the revival. So, so I think that's the case too. You could say
FTR, just, as Kenny Omega would say.
Yeah, how about the, how about being the elite this past week, and you seeing Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn in the background too, and AJ Styles? That was hilarious, guys. If you don't know what I'm talking about, go to Being the Elite and follow them. Their latest episode, I think it was episode 65.
Yeah,
you know, they're in Canada and Montreal, and of course some great cameos.
But well, I think it was funnier than that is, you know, I saw that episode, was really good, but I thought it was funnier than that when you told me that you had a restraining order for saying fuck the revival. Really, WWE's paying attention.
And the best thing is they bleeped out, you know, F the revival. So
well, I just said the word.
So
now you're bleeping. Like, now you're censoring yourself here. But yeah, it just, it's funny. It's amazing how social media is so popular now. Where, you know, who'd think the revival in New Japan, now WWE's paying attention to them? It's so popular. You know, we look at NXT events, and now we look at the crowds for Raw and SmackDowns. I'm seeing a lot more Bullet Club shirts. I'm seeing a lot more Kenny Omega shirts. I'm seeing a lot of Elite shirts out there. It's gaining momentum, and you know, now the WWE's actually mentioned New Japan in a couple of interviews, or talking about certain people, like for example, the Good Brothers, which are Gallows and Anderson. Talk about New Japan, talk about Ring of Honor. They're mentioning these other promotions, so I think it's just a matter of time before we start getting more acknowledgement for it, and who knows, maybe some name drops.
Yeah, and the Bullet Club has done a great job in stealing my money, because I am buying shirts like crazy for the Bullet Club. They got a brand new shirt now with the Bullet Club with the U.S. color, so I'm probably going to buy that too. And of course, the G1 is in full swing, and you know, Kenny Omega is in a must win because he lost to Juice Robinson, which is crazy, but we will find out. August 12th is a big one because Kenny Omega needs to beat Okada, and that's August 12th, and I'm excited for that. But Brian, here's another thing too. We've got crazy stuff going on. Right after SummerSlam, we got Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather. Yeah. And then we've got a possible, you know, John Jones, Brock Lesnar in the future. People are talking about that. News coming out that Ronda Rousey is training for a possible WWE. Now I sound like Kurt Angle. Possible WWE in-ring appearance.
Yeah.
You know, and then you've got saying John Jones saying he might be at SummerSlam. Cyborg might be at SummerSlam to challenge Becky Lynch. You got all these things going on. What do you think about this mix of MMA and WWE together? Do you think it's something that Dana White and Vince kind of are, you know what's going on? Or do you think this is like, how do you feel about just the influx in general?
I think they know what's going on, but I don't think it's started by them. I think Dana White and Vince McMahon, as great promoters as they are, aren't really initiating this stuff. It's really social media. It's basically what we talked about before with, you know, how WWE sent a restraint order to the revival or New Japan to stop doing this whole FTR thing.
Cease and desist.
Cease and desist. Yeah. It's like, it's working. You know, UFC and WWE have a lot of interlinkings between each other. They use a lot of the same styles. A lot of what WWE does, they copy from UFC and vice versa. It's a sincerest form of flattery when you do that. But with this whole scenario, with, like you said, the John Jones, the Cyborg, the Ronda Rousey thing. Well, the Ronda Rousey thing was just a matter of time. She's mentioned how she's wanted to work for WWE.
I mean, it's imminent.
People, it's imminent. Saying. She was champion at the time. Dana White was not going to let that happen. Now it looks like she's more than retired now. So there's no problem there. And the mere fact that when we looked at the Mae Young Classic and see that the four horsewomen from mixed martial arts and the four horsewomen from WWE were kind of going back and forth with some banter, you're thinking, this is a money fight. I don't know if we thought it was going to be set up for SummerSlam, maybe down the road, WrestleMania, who knows. But I think it's just great because it just brings more acknowledgement on both sides. So people who watch combat sports are more intrigued by WWE because they're like, well, that's all predetermined. But you know what? That banter back and forth, it feels real. And storylines kind of bleed into real life situations. So I'm just excited for it. I think it's great. As opposed to Vince McMahon and Dana White, they'd be fools not to ride this. To embrace it. But I think a lot of it was started by the individuals themselves because they know their names, whether you're in sports entertainment or in sports, it's a brand and you have to brand yourself.
Thumbs up, thumbs down. Ronda Rousey wrestles by the end of the year.
Thumbs up.
John Jones is up at SummerSlam to just instigate a rivalry with Brock Lesnar.
Thumbs up, John Jones will be there. In terms of when this fight will happen, it'll be a little while before it happens.
A little maybe interaction between Cyborg and Becky Lynch.
I think Cyborg will be backstage.
So 3 for 3.
Yeah.
At SummerSlam. It's no wonder it's freaking 6 hours We're going to see all this stuff.
Oh, God, don't remind me of that. My butt's going to be killing me by the time this event's over. I'm not going to even want to go to Raw anymore.
Yeah, I'm not going to pay the $10 for water at Brooklyn, so I'm going to be, my ass is going to be sitting there watching all those matches.
We're going to be so dehydrated by the end of it. Seriously, it's going to be ridiculous. But, yeah, it's, you know, these events are worth it, and, you know, it's cool to see for the fact that, at least for me, past years watching SummerSlam, not currently, but in the past years that I've watched it, they haven't really brought the big names. Now they're treating SummerSlam as if it's a WrestleMania. It's the WrestleMania of the summer, and the big names are coming out for it.
But you know what I will sit down for?
What?
What I can listen for hours and hours and hours?
What?
Our interviews. And
what?
They just get better and better. What?
Better and better?
Better and better.
They do. They ultimately do, man. And a lot of kudos, guys. And if you guys follow us on social media, give a lot of congratulations to Jeff. He has been on point with these guests, booking them left and right, and it's just, you know, it's exceeded my expectations for the fact that, you know, we always like to feel, as we joke about here, oh, not everything is going to be a home run. They've been home runs with all our guests. Every single person we've had on the show has been a home run, just because it's that ability to have them and have a conversation, and that's great, and we thank them for their time. And just like this interview we're going to do right now, it's just simply amazing. You can go on and talk for hours about it because they show the same enthusiasm that we have for the show.
Yes, and Mark Adam Haggerty is going to join us right now. You can follow him on Twitter at @BeatPlusRadio. We're talking wrestling podcasts. We're talking about, is there a place for them still? Are there too many?
Yeah.
We're also talking about the wrestling biz. And, of course, once you hear this guy's voice, you're going to realize that he is a hustler and a ring announcer extraordinaire, always hustling, always working hard. And I'm pretty sure that soon enough you will see him on a Ring of Honor, on an Impact, or even an NXT. And who knows, maybe one day WWE or SmackDown event. This guy is just that good, and I love the way he, you know, gave us our very own ring entrance towards the end. But besides all that, you know what impressed me the most?
What?
Is that when I found him and I followed him on Twitter, he is not a closet Backstreet Boys fan. No, he is a 90s fan, and he's not afraid to admit it. And that's what I respect the most about our next guest.
Wasn't that your band? You're a Backstreet Boys fan before NSYNC?
I was NSYNC.
I thought you were more Backstreet Boys than NSYNC.
When I had to choose, it was NSYNC.
Okay.
You know, Backstreet Boys are, you know.
Was that rivalry real?
Let's be honest. In pop, it's New Kids on the Block. That was for me.
Okay.
And then after that, you had the Backstreet Boys and the New Kids. You had the Backstreet Boys and you had NSYNC. And after that, you had to choose. And all the girls, oh, Backstreet Boys. And, you know, I liked NSYNC. You know,
okay.
Go JT. But our next guest loves 90s music. And that's how we started off with Mark Adam Haggerty. There is nothing B-plus about this A-plus guest. And he joins us here on the High Spot Podcast. All right, Brian, you know, sometimes I always feel like I can get a connection with some guest that we have on the show, but this one I really felt like a good vibe. You know why? It's not because he's talented and he's a great ring announcer and he's up and coming, and pretty soon you're going to hear from him just all over, whether it's WWE, NXT, whether it's, you know, Ring of Honor, you know, who knows, maybe New Japan or maybe Impact. But this guy, I connected because he's a Backstreet Boy guy. I mean, I literally got on his Twitter, and I checked his feed, and I was like, wow, if he is man enough to play a Backstreet Boys song in the background and sing to As Long As You Love Me, then I know this guy is the right guest for the High Spot Podcast. And so, without further ado, ring announcer extraordinaire, Mark Haggerty joins us. Mark, what's going on, man?
Well, that I'm supposed to be the one with the introductions, man. That's amazing. Yeah, I am. You know, it's weird. Pete Rosato, color commentator that I work with all over the place now, I worked at the Meteor One recently, he gets on me saying that I shouldn't like the Backstreet Boys so much, but I'm glad that you, in this public forum, have given me, like, you know, my pass, because I enjoy all things pop music. I'd be almost embarrassed to share my Pandora settings.
Listen, man, I got to be honest with you. When I heard that, I was like, hey, you know what? Because we put something on Instagram. Like, we were jamming to NSYNC going down the shore. And we were like, you know, hey, you know what? It's good music. I don't care who laughs at me. But that's, you know, that's freaking great music. And we're all 90s guys. I mean, I'm a 90s guy. Brian here, the trendsetter, is a 90s guy. So we're not ashamed of it, man. Pop is awesome.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I was saying, I was on a trip recently, and I was saying, like, they're like oldies at this point. What's old is new again, and they're really catchy.
Mark, did you ever see on Facebook where they play, like, those kind of songs, and they say the song's now 20 years old, and it makes it feel like, where the hell did time fly?
As a 30-year-old who has been kind of just grasping with, like, turning 30 for the last 10 months or so. Yeah, those things make me feel really old. They make me feel, like, drastically old, especially when it's something that I'm like, no, that couldn't possibly have been that long ago. I mean, 1997 was 20 years ago, probably my favorite year in all of wrestling, and it pains me to know that it was so long ago.
Where does the time fly? But we're here with Mark Adam Haggerty. Follow him on Twitter at B+ Radio. Listen, man, very, very good network as far as wrestling content. Talk about, you know, just how that all started and when you decided to make a network like this.
Well, my first foray into working in wrestling was as I was the editor of DailyWrestlingNews.com. Shout out to Mark Middleton, who holds it down over there. That's his website. He also works for Wrestling Inc., Lords of Pain, all those really cool places that I ended up working as well. And, you know, he, along with a couple of my friends, were like, hey, man, you should do a podcast. You know, you write about wrestling. You should talk about it. And it's so weird, like, you know, because I talk for a living. I've always been really self-conscious about my voice. Like, I'm like, I think I sound weird, but I guess it is what it is.
I think everybody's like that.
It was also like, and I'm sure you guys feel this way. I've talked to, like, other guys. It's like, dude, everyone has a podcast. So it's like, if I'm going to do something, I don't want it to just be like, you know, this week in wrestling, what happened on Raw, you know what I mean? Like, so I put it off for several months, and eventually we just kind of, hey, let's just roll with it. And when it finally started cooking, we introduced Sean Donovan with Ravishing Reminders, which was his show. Damian Gibbs and the Aesthetic Males had the Aesthetic Perspective for about 10 episodes or so. The great thing about this, I mean, it's bittersweet about this business is people can only do things for so long because they just get too busy with everything else. But since then we've added, I mean, we've got a dozen shows on the network right now. Dave Sturcio's podcast is on both our network and the Shining Wizards. You know, I've got a couple different shows. The Wrestling IQ guys are over there holding it down. The American Sports Connection, just a lot of, you know, I like to say, like, for the Star Trek fans out there, like, I'm like the Borg. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not trying to, like, destroy everyone, but I'm trying to, like, assimilate, you know? But that's just kind of been the way my podcasting network has grown. I never expected it to last as long as it has, which is only 2.5 years or so. But nor have I expected it to grow, nor have I did I expect it to lead me to an actual career in wrestling, you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, and when it goes to the edge, you're talking about, you know, everybody has a wrestling podcast now. I remember watching with Jeff, the network, you know, Pete Rosenberg, talking about wrestling podcasts, goes out there and asks the question to JBL and Corey Graves, are there too many out there? I mean, what's your take on it? Do you think there are just too many wrestling podcasts out there, or are there just not enough areas to be able to voice that opinion when it comes to professional wrestling?
You know, it's so weird because I feel like I look at it two different ways. I feel like, you know, too much of anything is bad. I'm a fan of, like, all nerd culture, you know what I mean? As much as I love wrestling, I also love Star Wars and James Bond and stuff like that. So I listen to a lot of different kind of podcasts. And, like, there are maybe 3 James Bond podcasts that are worth listening to. There are maybe 10 Star Wars. Man, there are hundreds of wrestling podcasts. And when there's guys like, say, like MLW Radio, who've got, like, you know, Bruce Pritchard and these heavyweights coming on, it's almost like, why even try and have a podcast? You know what I mean? Like, if you're on, like, my level or your level or anything like that. But then I look at it the other way, where it's like, why have a podcast? Because we all have a freaking voice, you know what I mean? Like, we all are entitled to our opinion, and I think it's really cool. It's a testament to the age of industry that we're in, the technology that we have right now, you know, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, like all that stuff. So the way I look at it is there are probably too many podcasts out there, yes. However, if you are like, you know, the Jersey Wrecking Crew right here, if you're like all these other guys out there who are really hustling, who are putting in the work to do it, then you deserve to be one of the few that have a wrestling podcast because the others are going to fizzle out anyway.
Yeah, I think the main thing is a lot of people are kind of like, I guess what the main problem is, a lot of people look at WWE, which is like right now the main game out there, and they want to, you know, trash the booking, and they all want to be bookers, and they want to kind of bury
the
product. Right. But
yeah.
I think that if we can just say, like, how can it be made better, and we don't have a negative tone on wrestling, because it seems like everybody wants to come on and just, you know, you know, complain about the product. But if you can come on, have like a conversation, you can, you know, back and forth, and you can talk about what could be done better, and you know, you have another kind of alternative. I think you can have a podcast. But Mark, the funny thing is, the podcast
I think the key to it as well, and it's something that I've tried to do with all my stuff, is to just think about like what is not being covered in wrestling, or like what's a concept that no one else is like running with or anything like that. And that is when, I mean, the most listened to show on our network is Live from Hollywood, Alabama, which is our Wrestling Society X podcast, which is 100% endorsed and you know, fully, you know, Kevin Kleinrock and the guys from MTV that were behind the show fully endorse us. They love the show. And it was something like that where it's like, dude, no one's podcasting about Wrestling Society X. Of course not. You know what I mean? And it's like when I try and do like my BBWF specific show, people, you know, for people that don't know, that's one of the promotions I work with. But people are like, well, how many listens can a BBWF show get? And I always like, okay, look at it this way. So say I have a podcast and I'm interviewing Ric Flair. Well, Ric Flair did 20 interviews that week, and you can listen to 19 other better interviews anywhere else. But the most marketable man in wrestling, Richard Holiday, only did one interview this entire month. And you better believe he is going to tell his friends, his family, and everyone that follows him in social media to go check that out. So yeah, you know what? I might get a burst of a couple thousand listens right off the bat with a Ric Flair interview, but over time, that Richard Holiday interview is going to garner more traffic, and more people are going to come and be like, oh, this guy's talking about people that I care about, you know? And that's always been my approach to it. I didn't mean to cut you off with that long-winded explanation.
No, that's fine, man. This is what we want to get. We want to get like a conversation going.
Yes, and you never have to apologize for cutting Jeff off, because he goes on tangents every once in a while.
Yeah, and then Brian wants to cut me off, so it's, you know, it's I'm used to it here. So, you know, it's, if the guest wants to do it, so be it. But I just think, Mark, that it was kind of our last way of getting out there, right? We were like, oh, okay, so now we can buy, you know, get a MacBook or a computer and get on there and buy a mic on Amazon, and we can get our voice heard, and maybe, you know, we can, you know, be that one in a million that makes it. But then when, you know, you have established people like a Chris Jericho and like you said, a Bruce Pritchard, and they come on, well, you know, you're like, damn it, man. You know what I mean? Like, you know, that now the door is closed. But I still think, like you said, I still think you got to come at wrestling some other way, because if not, you're going to be just like other podcasts.
I also think that, you know, I wasn't just blowing smoke before when I said, like, you know, the hustle is really important, because, you know, I know people out there who start a podcast and, you know, they don't realize what kind of work it is, not only to produce it, because, you know, once eventually that just becomes, you know, like you could do that in your sleep once you do it enough times. But in terms of promoting it and getting ready for it and scheduling stuff, like, you know, you guys, I don't know if you mind my saying, you know, we scheduled this like almost a month ago at this point. So you guys really do put in the work. And I think that the people out there that really do, like, you know, that hustle and that are about themselves, like, I always tell people, like, just focus on what you're doing. Like, because, you know, I'm not going to name any names, but, like, I'll see on, like, Instagram, I'll be like, you know, oh, wow, this one ring announcer is working at a promotion that I would really like to work for. That sucks. And I start feeling bad for a second, the same as I would if I'd be like, oh, Bruce Pritchard's show is better than mine. That sucks. immediately afterwards, it's like, yo, but, dude, you're doing all this other stuff. You focus on you and forget about everyone else. And that's just the way I treat my whole life. I think people think I'm self-centered, but it's like, no, I'm just cause oriented.
Yeah, and also you're very competitive, because it's a very competitive nature. I mean, with anything, the reason why Jeff and I wanted to get involved with, you know, for example, the podcast world, and that, you know, honestly, I was more of the behind the scenes type of guy. I would think, like, you know, everybody who talks about a subject like professional wrestling, you're like, oh, you're talking with your buddies, you're making good banter. Hey, this could be a show, but you know, a lot of work goes into, you know, topics. It goes into discussions, and obviously booking guests like yourself coming on and gracing us with your presence. But the thing is that, you know, it's an open forum too. Like for most of the podcasts that I listen to, a lot of people are just basically, they're just complaining, they're whining, oh, this sucks, it's terrible, I don't want to see it, they should do this, they should do that. But really trying to understand and break it down. So break it down.
Break it down. Mark, listen, the only reason why it's a month in advance is because your book's solid, my man. I want to give you props because you're really getting out there, and I think you're very humble because I think you've got that ring announcer voice. But listen, I got to ask you, man, how are you feeling? Are you healed up after taking that after that vicious attack by the heavenly bodies? Like, I mean, they really put a hurting on you, and I just want to know, like, you know, how you doing?
All right, what kind of podcast is this? Is it the kind of podcast where I say, like, all those dastardly heavenly bodies, they'll get their due? Or do you want me to tell you exactly, like, do you want me to give you some details?
Give me the details, man.
It's open forum, dude.
So, without giving too much away, obviously, because, you know, it is the magic of the industry, but I learned that I was going to be doing that about 5 minutes before it happened, I would say, and... Definitely the biggest bump I've ever taken in my entire career thus far. I've been involved in a few in-ring deals in the past, but roll-ups and kick Mark out of the ring, sort of nothing like the Pearly Gates, which is the Heavenly Body's hangman neck breaker, which is their finishing maneuver. They told me, like, not the Heavenly Bodies, they would not tell me. I was told about 5 minutes before, like, hey, we want you to do this spot. And me, I'm 100% game to always do anything all the time, ever. So I was like, yep, whatever you need of me. And they're like, all right, do you want details? And I'm like, well, just teach me not how to, like, die. So we go and we do the whole thing. And I do it, and it looks great as far as I'm concerned. You know what I mean? I was happy with it. But then afterwards, my arm is, like, legit out of its socket. Like, it Ooh. Is, like, it, something is, like, completely wrong with it. In fact, right now, like, almost 3 weeks later, I'm twisting it, and it still does not have full rotation. And I guess when I hit the mat as well, I landed face first, and my nose swelled up, like, right at the bridge of my nose hit. And then afterwards, like, the guys in the match were just, like, nonchalantly, like, oh, yeah, don't do X, Y, and Z. And I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, definitely. Yeah, no, I'm going to go to the hospital, but don't do X, Y. Yeah, sure, of course. But, like, that was, like, and it was one of those moments where I think all of us as wrestling fans, you know, we are the ones that, like, when people out there say, like, that's fake, you know what I mean? We're the ones that have to defend it, and we say stuff like, you know, it might be predetermined, but, you know, they really get – dude, I really got – hurt in that. I hand to God, hand on my dead, all four dead grandparents, I got hurt in that match, and I'm still feeling it today. And no joke. So to anyone out there that thinks, like, yeah, it's just like whatever, up and down, no, it's serious, especially when you are a newcomer like me, and people don't think to tell you the things, like that day one-ish, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, day one is H. What does that even mean, man?
Does that even mean?
Exactly. But, hey, kudos to you for taking that. I mean, you know, Jeff and I have so much respect for this business and this wacky business that we talk called professional wrestling. So taking a bump is basically earning your stripes. Prior to that, though, like, what was the initial idea in terms of, like, you know, Jeff and I were very passionate about this. You know, we like to have similar guests the same exact way. What drove you to want to kind of pursue this as a career?
I know it's cliche to say, but it really kind of just happened not by accident, but sort of out of nowhere.
But clearly you're a fan growing up, right?
Oh yeah, definitely, man. I'm 30. Born in 86, so the first wrestling I ever, I mean, I watched all the old WrestleManias, my dad had them all on VHS and stuff like that, but the first live wrestling memory that I can, like, really remember, maybe because I watched it 1,000 more times, is WrestleMania 9, which is my favorite WrestleMania, I don't care.
Caesar's Palace, yep.
And, but I remember watching that in 1993, and I was hooked. 96 is really when I, like, jumped in. I started, like, sneaking downstairs after bedtime late to turn the TV back on after I was supposed to be asleep. It's like, you know, my parents would always, like, be like, oh, we'll tape it for you. But, I mean, listen, I love my mom, but, like, she doesn't know how to charge herself. Like, she didn't know how to, like, do the VHS, please. I knew that as a 9-year-old. But But 96, 97, I really, really got into it. I had my lull like everyone does, you know, in high school or whatever, when it's like, oh, girls aren't really into wrestling, so I'm not either anymore. But then once I went to college, one night it was the Raw Homecoming on USA Network. It was kind of one of those, like, I don't know if you guys have had one of those, like, epiphany moments, like, as an adult, where it's like, it's cool to like wrestling. It's not nerdy anymore. And I had that, like, that moment where, like, all the cool, like, baseball players and football players, like, we're all assembled in the dorms and we're all watching this Raw Homecoming. We're all cheering the same stuff because we all watched it growing up. And I had this moment where I'm like, all right, watching wrestling, like, I shouldn't be embarrassed about wrestling anymore. And, you know, I was a fan again after that, but I'll tell you, I lived in California for several years, and I moved, I worked, before I worked in professional wrestling, I worked in the political world. I was a campaign manager for a couple successful campaigns in Southern California. I also worked in the medical marijuana industry for 4.5 years, which I know must medical. Sound strange to a lot of people out here on the East Coast, but is old hat to everyone out West. It's like, oh yeah, definitely. You know, he's a doctor. She works at he works at the weed store, of course. So to now answer your question, I never had any aspirations of actually doing this. I was just a fan that loved it. But I started writing for those websites around the same time I was working for the political machine that I was working for at the time. I was writing speeches, I was writing press releases, and I always say, like, man, if I can write, like, a press release about, like, tainted water or something, like, terrible, like, then I can write a SmackDown review. So I ended up
actually, it might be more difficult.
On lordsofpain.net, which I always put over because I feel like a lot of people know them.
Yeah, I remember
website,
that.
Always check it out. But I answered an ad. I started, you know, doing the whole dirt sheet thing. I started the podcasting network. I ended up moving back to New Jersey in 2015. Yes, that's correct. So when I moved back in 2015, I continued with the podcasting thing, but when I moved back here, I realized, you know, unlike Southern California, there's a lot more independent promotions around. I feel like we are so spoiled here. I don't know if you guys realize that, but, like, here, oh, yeah, there is literally a pro wrestling show going on every single weekend, usually Thursday through Sunday, at least in the summertime. Mm-hmm. And we're just stupid for wrestling around here. Out in Cali, not so much. There's a couple, like, lucha spot shows. You've got Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, which is closer to San Diego, so it doesn't even make sense. But there's not as much. So when I moved out here, I got way more into the independent scene, and I started going out to indie. And I remember seeing you guys at, like WrestlePro shows and PWS stuff and all that kind of stuff. And I just, like, you know, I just got hooked on all that. And I ended up making friends with some guys over at WrestlePro, or at PWS at the time that begat WrestlePro. But I guess, your question was, when did I think about doing this? I never thought about doing it. But when I eventually made the transition into the business was in the summer of 2016, believe it or not, which is just last year.
Oh, wow.
And so I went to a wrestling show, the BBWS. They had a really cool show in Totowa, New Jersey. And afterwards, I messaged the promoter and told him all the things I thought he did wrong. Like, I know that sounds like real, like a heel move.
How
but,
dare you, Mark?
You know,
this guy,
Dan
what
Ram,
arrogance
Icon
he
Dan
has.
Ram, he's like a brother to me. I'm in his wedding party. I love the guy dearly. I didn't know him up until that time, but I basically messaged him, and I'm like, hey, man, your audio sucked, this sucked, that sucked. How about you let me run production? Because basically, like, you know, you guys know, you know, if you guys had to record the commentary for a wrestling show, you could do it, right? You record podcasts. How could you not do that? So that's literally what I proposed. I'm like, dude, your commentary, because the dudes were doing commentary on microphones and the people in the, like, they could hear it, and I'm like, ugh, that's gross. That's like Boy Meets World when Brother Love was doing commentary over the Vader match with Jake the Snake. That's gross.
Yeah.
So I proposed some changes, and he said, well, why don't you come in and we'll work on some stuff. And that just so happened to be the same time that that David Adams broke something because Larry Legend gave him a rock bottom at House of Glory. So I ended up replacing David Adams. And that is the longest-winded response to any question ever. And that is how I eventually made it into the wrestling business.
No, but that's great because it's a great story in terms that, you know, we all grew up as fans. And then, like, I don't think Jeff and I ever developed the scenario where we're like, oh, we're embarrassed that we're liking professional wrestling or we're watching it. I think it became a point of frustration where we're just like, why are we still watching this? This is utter garbage what we're watching right now. But we still have such a passion and love for it. We're still watching it every Monday, every Thursday for SmackDown and stuff like that. But do you still see it from that perspective as a fan, or now because you're in the business, you see it more in terms of booking style? Because, like you said, you told the promoter, you know, this sucked, you should improve this, and basically jumped right into it.
And also, I want to let everyone know, like, Dan and I had talked, like, a few, like, weeks prior. He was on my podcast and everything, so we had kind of known each other a little bit. I would never do that to, like, hey, what's up? My name's Mark, and here's what you're doing wrong. That's terrible. But, what was the question again? I'm sorry. I totally went off. I totally blanked now.
No, no problem. We love it. But the only thing I was asking you was that now that you're in the business,
So I started going off. Dan Rant does that to me. I swear to God, I lose my train of thought.
This is where you make the rounds of podcasts way too much, Mark.
You
podcast it out, you know.
I still look at it as a fan because there's still things I really like. It's weird because before, you know, when I was interviewing people, right, just on my podcast before, you know, like 2 years before I even did any of this, I would ask, like, you know, hey, you know, so-and-so, what do you think of what they're doing on SmackDown or whatever? And their answer was inevitably, I don't know what they're doing on SmackDown. And, like, I would ask guys on, like, TNA, like, hey, what about this thing you have going on? And they're like, oh, that was months ago. I have no idea. You know what I mean? And I would always think, like, that's crazy. How do you guys not, like, and now that I'm, like, I'm in it, I can't, it's not that I can't pay attention to WWE or anything, but you're right. Like, I'll watch it in, like, a totally different way. And I don't want to sound like some guy, like some industry guy that looks at it a different way. It sucks that I look at it that way. I don't want it to be that way. But I totally get what people were saying to me before. And I don't even, like, throw any shade at my, like, you know, and I'm getting used to the GFW thing. I'll call them GFW guys. But I'm not even going to throw any shade at those guys for not remembering what they do. Because, like, I was at a show up at Dynasty in upstate New York this past week. And someone's like, you know, what happened to Brute's title match? And I said, who is Brute? And they're like, oh, Brute fans like, but I didn't know what I didn't know what they were even referring to. And they were talking about something from like 3 weeks earlier. So you just get like, there's so many different things happening. It's tough. I still watch every single WWE, I'll still call them pay-per-views for lack of a better term. I still watch all of those. I watch all of NXT, but I usually like binge it on like a Sunday sometimes. Mm-hmm. But I haven't watched Raw or SmackDown in months, and it sucks because, like, I love AJ Styles. I love Shinsuke Nakamura. You know, I love The Miz. He's my favorite wrestler ever.
Really? Wow. Not a lot of people would say that The Miz is their favorite wrestler.
Especially in a public forum, right? Yeah. No,
exactly.
You're on record, and it's recorded, and you said it, so I give you kudos on that.
I love WrestleMania 9 and The Miz.
Yeah, I'm surprised you're not going to get tarred and feathered after this podcast goes out.
You know, I heard you talk about WrestleMania 9, and I really don't have an issue with that. But, you know, then Kevin Owens comes out on his DVD, and he says that he watched WrestleMania 11, and he was hooked. And I think by far WrestleMania 11 was by far the worst, besides 27, of all the WrestleManias.
Without a doubt.
Right?
Without a doubt.
Hartford, Connecticut?
First of all.
Oh, my God.
And I don't remember, like, I every time I watch it, I feel like it just starts, right? Like, it's just kind of like, I mean, am I remembering that wrong? Doesn't it just kind of like they go, it doesn't even start like, with like fireworks. It's just like Vince McMahon or whoever welcoming people. And then the Allied Powers are just in the ring, right?
Yes, correct. That's how it starts, basically. And when your main events, Lawrence Taylor and Bam Bam Bigelow, you kind of lost me there.
See, I'm not even like, okay, here's my thing with that is to close the show. Yeah, that sucks. But, like, I feel like if they close the show with Diesel and Shawn Michaels, maybe they put that a little bit earlier in the show. Because also, like, what else? You had, was that Bret Hart and...
Bob Backlund, yep.
Yeah, okay. So, see, not a bad card, but I think it was hampered by all the, you know, the JTG, the Jonathan Taylor Thomas of it all.
Yeah, it was it was 95, and they were going through their, you know, they had, I guess, a steroid trial, and then, you know, they were losing guys to WCW. So, I mean, it wasn't,
it was more of a transitional period, it seemed like.
Was that the one, okay, I'm just making sure, because obviously I'm a huge fan, obviously, but that was the one where Donnie Wahlberg was the special guest ring announcer, right?
No, that was 10.
That was WrestleMania 10 in Madison
Square
Garden.
I just remember Donnie Wahlberg is like, you're following contest, the schedule, and I'm just like, no, just say it. Come on, man. Have you never seen wrestling?
it's 10, man. But, you know, so I do not blame you for liking WrestleMania 9. I like the whole outdoor thing. And if I was there, I would have worn a toga myself. So,
If you guys follow me on Instagram, I don't know if you do, but over at B Plus Radio, I have my Insta story. Most of the time is just me watching Nitro. So definitely check that out.
Oh, yeah, definitely. We will. I think we do, but we'll get into that. You were talking about... We Are Dynasty Wrestling before, and I got to ask it, did you actually end up going on a date?
No, I did not.
Or did you get, like, what happened with that?
Okay, so I don't know if you, it sucks, actually.
Because you were, like, out there promoting it, and I'm like, okay, this guy, I mean, I'm sure there's a single lady out there that, you know, will want to vie Mark for a night out. I definitely, probably dinner would have been on you. You know, I don't know what the circumstances was, but what happened there?
It's crazy. I don't even want to. Actually, I got a friend request from a very attractive young woman and a message immediately afterwards, like, what happened to the raffle? And I was like, no, I can't believe that hot women showed up. but no, okay, so the whole thing came from, like, Chris Envy, the promoter. He's a good friend of mine. I love the guy dearly. One of the first guys to give me a break in this business, so I'll always be indebted to him. And we were just joking around. I famously have not dated anyone since 2011, and it's almost become just like a running joke with everyone because it's more having to do with just being busy with work and everything.
Sure.
So all my friends are always trying to hook me up with like their lady friends. And it's not anything I'm ever interested in. But Chris Envy decided that he was going to raffle me off to the highest bidder. And I don't know if it had any connection to the fact of my, you know, lonely single life or not, if he was even thinking about
it.
He was making fun of me.
It was a rib.
But he basically, he did this thing without even consulting me, put it up, and I was like, you know what, fine. Because I don't know if you guys saw this, last month, these guys that are always there, John, Craig, Charles, and oh, I forgot the other one's name. I apologize, dude, but... They gifted me a pair of snakeskin shoes. They just gave them to me. They bought them and gave them to me because at another show I busted my shoes and they're like, "We're gonna get you a new pair. What size are you?" I said 10 and a half. They brought me shoes. It's crazy, but so I was like, you know, worst case scenario, these guys will buy me for $5 and we'll go out for a beer, whatever. But so the show happens and the third match in is Chris Envy, the promoter of the show. And he's going up against a guy named D3 Danielle Dentis D'Acionato, something like that. Straight up legit from Italia, from Rome. Really, really great, high-flying, amazing technical wrestler. But these guys have been having, you know, their in-storyline blood feud where, you know, he took him out and now Envy's coming back for revenge. Envy's the babyface. Doesn't matter because during the match, Chris went for a Hurricane Rana. I believe off the top row, I think it might have been standing actually, but either way, he landed directly on the top of his head, and this was a, you know, referee arms cross situation, which, you know, sidebar, the in New York, you need to have the doctors and the, you know, the paramedics and all those people on hand, like, you know, legally to have a show, and no one had ever versed these doctors in, like, the referee hand signals, like, what do you do if something actually goes wrong? So I, not knowing if something even went wrong until I saw the X, I panicked and I personally ran through the curtain to the back to the doctor, said legit the words, this is, I'm not going to curse on your shit, but I'm like, this is freaking real, dude. And he's like, what? And he came and he screamed for the paramedic. We all came out. We thought Chris had a broken neck. He did receive a terrible, terrible concussion where he lost his memory for a short period. I said on another podcast, on one of my podcasts recently, the scariest thing about it is Chris lives in South Carolina, runs in New York because he's got the license and because he's from up there and he's got a following, and he always brings his kids with him, cause, like, sort of like a father, you know, kid, you know, road trip sort of thing, like have fun with dad.
Bonding.
And that's always really cool, but like when dad gets hurt and has to go to the hospital, the kids, man, they were in a bad way, and I am proud to be on the Dynasty roster because, I mean, you had guys like Bull Hightower, Jim Anderson, some of the scariest guys in wrestling, you know, cuddling these kids and making sure they're okay and be like, hey, you know, your dad's okay, he's going to be all right. And luckily, thank God, he is okay. But we did not end up having the raffle just because we felt like maybe that sort of thing would have been in poor taste given the serious circumstances. For that to happen to anyone is serious, but, you know, especially the promoter of the show and everyone there, a lot of them are there just because, you know, their family and their friends and stuff.
Well, I mean, yeah, that is unfortunate. We're glad he's doing well, but I'm pretty sure that you're owed a date, my man. I'm pretty sure.
I definitely am owed a date, without a doubt. You know, hey, you guys, you know, I don't think it's confined to Dynasty. If you guys want to bid too, you guys can take me out for a beer. It's all.
Hey, why not? We can talk some wrestling, some WrestleMania memories and stuff like that. Yeah, why not?
Without a doubt.
And we gotta buy Mark. This is how big he is now. We have to buy his.
By his time. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
The first one's free. Second one, you got to pay for it.
Second one's like, yeah, he's got to pay for it.
I learned that in California, yeah.
Speaking of California, Mark, what was like the biggest, I guess, adjustment when you moved back to Jersey? I mean, is it the beautiful textile factories and the power plants when you go on the turnpike? Or what was the biggest adjustment you had to make moving back to Jersey?
Well, driving in general, because I didn't drive in California. I lived, as far as, like, the landscape, honestly, not much has changed, except it's colder and drearier. But I live in Seaside Park, which is the beach, and I lived in Alamitos Beach, part of Long Beach, California. Like, I lived on Ocean Boulevard. And the joke was always, you know, because the streets are numbered, like, up to the 50s, and it's, like, the lower you go, you know, 50, you know, through, like, you know, 1, basically, you know, the nicer the places get. And I always joke with people, it's like, well, where do you live? I live on 0. That's Ocean Boulevard, the nicest place in town. But, yeah. You know, I got too big for my britches, I guess. No, I moved back here. Honestly, one of the big reasons I moved back was because of pro wrestling and stuff like that. You know, I had an inkling that I might pursue it. But as far as adjustments, driving in general, again, I had to get another driver's license, which, you know, I had to, like, take a test and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, man.
As an adult. You know, definitely the change of the seasons. It's much hotter here than it is there. People don't believe me, but it's like in Southern California, it's like 75 degrees all year long. That's the thing. But it doesn't get any really any hotter than that. Maybe in, like, September a little bit, you'll get that Indian summer and it'll get to, like, the 90s for a couple days. But here, it's, like, dumb hot, like, all the time, or it's, like, stupid cold. I can't get used to either one.
Talking to Mark Adam Haggerty here. Follow him on Twitter at B-Plus Radio. Nothing B-Plus about this guy. A-Plus guest so far here on the iSpot podcast.
Definitely, definitely.
Mark, right now, the current product. We're going to get into a little bit of the current product. And, you know, again, we're ones that give our opinion. But right now, if there's one thing that you like about WWE and one thing you dislike about WWE, what would it be?
One thing I like about WWE and one thing I dislike. Okay, I know I just repeated your question. I was just buying time.
don't give away your hints.
You know, it's tough because I'm so indifferent toward it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But one thing I like is the fact that they are going outside the box for the first time in ever, basically. Actually, I don't even want to say that. And I'll rationalize that in a sec, but I like the way that they're bringing in the former TNA talent. I mean, we just saw Bobby Fish debut at, you know, over 40 years old. So, you know, Kevin Owens being obviously not the cookie cutter muscular guy, smaller guys like AJ Styles and, you know, Sami Zayn. And then you've got, you know, Shinsuke Nakamura, who, you know, is an enigma unto himself, and I feel like it's really cool how WWE is doing this. I think it's about time. I was one of those people that, like, you know, when CM Punk came in, I have like a short list of other Ring of Honor guys. I'm like, well, I wonder if they bring in, and of course they didn't bring anyone else in. But that's something I really like about it. I also want to say, you know what? I bet you didn't think. I like two things about WWE.
I love
Jinder Mahal's title reign. I think it is the bee's knees and the cat's pajamas. It is cool.
So you're not hindering on Jinder?
No, not at all, dude. I was obviously like everyone else where it's like, oh, this is out of nowhere. This, 3MB guy, okay. But I think it's been so cool with the Singh brothers. He's got like the dopest theme song, you know what I mean? Like, I think it's like so cool. Even like, I know it sounds cheesy, but like even the graphics that play like behind him as he walks out, the way the camera zooms up to him, that's something like, I'm just putting him over now. You can tell I want to get booked by, hey, WWE, will you book me? but like they really like the catering that they do as far as the production, like how like every guy, every girl, they have like their own camera angles almost. And I think that just the way they present Jinder, the way he looks with that belt, the dude is shredded. And not for nothing, I don't hate the Great Khali edition either. I think it's all real cool.
Oh, so you were probably a fan of Battleground, which really got panned a lot.
The finish, yeah, whatever. I think it was fine. I think once they got outside of, this is more WWE talk than I've done in years, it seems, but I was a fan of, like, I think the whole concept of the four doors is so stupid and convoluted. You know how it's always going to go. Get rid of that garbage. Just have, like, a door that the guy has to lift himself or something like that. But once they got out of there, I think the match got much better. Samir, I think it was, Singh, took that huge bump. I think the second half, we'll say, was better than the first. It was by no means a good match. But I think, you know, a lot of people right off the bat, they started likening Jinder Mahal to like a JBL-type character. And they're really building his posse up right now. You know, they've got, the two cruiserweight guys who are also a tag team. You've got the super heavyweight guy. You've got Jinder. I say get Ranjan Singh back in there so you can have, like, the manager guy. And dare I say, scour the indies. Find yourself an Indian or South Asian female wrestler, because I just think the package itself is too cool not to take advantage of.
Definitely. I sense that he's definitely behind Jinder Mahal. I mean, a lot of people would critique him in terms of the shtick. I feel sometimes gets a little old because we've seen this before. But again, I was one, as well as Jeff, one of the very few that actually were for this, because it gets kind of boring after a while seeing the same things John Cena and Randy Orton's. So,
yes, exactly.
So yeah, it's easy to not get over the fact that it's something different. Let's give it a shot here. But what's one of the things you dislike the most?
Just like that, I mean, it's probably a litany of things, but one thing that jumps out at me that, like, you know, I can pick on the cruiserweight class, stuff, I can pick on that if I want. I don't like how inundated with content we are right now, and that is coming from a guy that, like, I remember, like, 10 years ago, right, or something like that. You remember when, ECW was on Sci-Fi, and you had SmackDown on Thursday night, and you had Impact Wrestling on Wednesday, and you had Raw, and I remember at that time, like, thinking, man, if only there was a show on Friday, it would be the best week, just because it was, like, it was all different stuff. You know, ECW was not the same as, Impact, was not the same as Raw, etc. Now, we have wrestling every night of the week, not, counting that stuff, from everything from, the cruiserweights, and some of them are doubled up on nights, but you've got a week's worth plus of content. I think something like, like 9 hours or whatever it is, and it would be something if they were 9 different hours and giving me something different. Maybe it's shot differently, maybe, it's a different, like, maybe you darken the arena, but it all looks exactly the same, except for NXT, and not for nothing, that's the one that, and I don't even gravitate it, cause I'm not like some indie mark that's like, oh, I love work rate, no, I don't, I like work, you know what I mean, I think it's great, but like, that's, I don't care about that as much as I care about the overall presence of professional wrestling, and the presence presented on NXT to me is better than everything else. So I guess my main critique of WWE is that they're producing too much content, and it looks the same.
Well, speaking of different, though, you know, not too long ago, New Japan Wrestling had a very successful trip on the West Coast. And talk about something different. Jeff and I, you know, when we first initially started this podcast, it was mostly just WWE because that's, you know, the main force of what everybody wants to talk about. It's just WWE because everybody knows it. As soon as we progressed and started talking about the indie scene, New Japan was obviously something we really wanted to dive into. So what's your take on New Japan? I mean, their success at the G1 special in California, could they be, for example, like, I'm a huge fan of the Monday Night Wars. I think that was the best era, best time to watch professional wrestling. And hopefully, you always wish there's more competition out there because it just makes it better and more people have other opportunities to go and, you know, harness and craft their talent. What do you think about New Japan Wrestling? Do you feel that it could be possibly a good number? I mean, it's a number two now because people talk about it, but could it be maybe competing in the near future with the juggernaut, which is WWE?
Well, first of all, what do I think about it? One, you know, like I said, I went through like a phase in high school where I stopped liking wrestling, but then I kind of went through the same sort of thing in like 2013, 2014, because I was just so busy. I would still watch things on the ancillary. But New Japan Wrestling, when that started hitting big during that time period, that's what drew me back. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I was like, I was working so hard, you know, like I said, writing speeches and stuff like that, working till wee hours of the night on these campaigns. And I wouldn't want to, like, when I go home, I don't want to watch Raw. I don't want to watch SmackDown. But then you hear, like, oh, so-and-so had a five-star match. And at first, like, you know, like, I don't, like, other people that might just be getting into that kind of stuff, you wonder to yourself, well, I wonder what a five-star match looks like. I'm curious. So you turn it on, and you watch, and you're like, wow, that was really good. You mean to tell me they put these things on, like, on the weekly? So I got really into it. I was one of those people that subscribed to New Japan World before they made it easier to do, you know, when you had to translate. I mean, you still have to translate the site, but it's easier now because they help you. And they now I feel like they even cater it to Americans, right? They're even like, yeah, come spend your money. Back then, you weren't supposed to be, you know, I wasn't supposed to pay for it. But I love New Japan. I think it's really great. I don't think there's ever a future for me over there. They don't really employ a lot of gaijin ring announcers, at least. Maybe I could fill in for the Jackal, Don Callis, since he seems to lose his voice on every show.
Or JR, who has a problem picking out the wrestlers.
I love New Japan. I think New Japan is making strides. As you said, they had two shows in my home away from home, Long Beach, California, which pained me. I could not be there for. I lived, like, literally the convention center is on ocean. Like, that's where I live, guys.
Wow.
So
wow.
Trust me, nicest part of town. But I think it could be a competitive number two? I don't know. I think that there are still a lot of people that, you know, you can't be number two if you're showing, you know, reruns on Access is what I'll say. And you can't be number two if the only way to watch your stuff live with English commentary is over an internet connection. And I know that sounds like a lot of people, you know, they're listening to this right now on their phone or whatever, and we're all, you know, we're all with that. Yeah, we get it. If you're listening to a wrestling podcast right now, you're not the kind of person I'm talking about. But, you know, you need to be on television. You need to be on terrestrial, cable, whatever you want to say, television. Your show needs to, like, if, you know, and that's the thing, too, is they don't really have, like, a live weekly show. They just put up all their events. So if they could somehow harness that on, you know, maybe Sinclair Broadcasting through some kind of, deal or barter deal with Ring of Honor or something, but I think they need to actually be on television with live and or up-to-date stuff. The streaming service is great, but like I know too many people that, you know, don't even have the WWE Network for that reason. And if you're not going to have the WWE Network, you're not going to have that. But you can still watch WWE on USA. You can't watch. So that's my thing. They need to clear that hurdle to be competitive in that nature. But once they do I think they can be competitive? Yeah, I do, definitely, because it gives people something different. It's wrestling versus sports entertainment. I love both of those things, but it's something different.
Yeah, you said different is what people are looking for, like, especially in this millennial age, people want different. They don't want the same thing, and attention span, unfortunately, is, you know, merely more than 10-15 minutes now. But
that's been the thesis, you know, sentence of this, like, of this podcast so far, from podcasting to the WWE content to what New Japan should do to everything, is just be different. Give people something different, because, you know, I always go back to this, and it might be cliched. I think everyone working in wrestling should always think this in their mind. And if you don't think it, start thinking it. Think about Eric Bischoff and his first day as president. He didn't think, how can I beat WWE? He thought, how can I be different than WWE? And that has been basically my motto, is how can I be different than X, Y, and Z in most cases.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true. I mean, the Bischoff book is definitely a good read if you want to know how to, you know, succeed and be different. And also, I think we also like Paul Heyman, I can also agree, is also another one who's also shown you how to hustle and how to be different and do things your way and have a vision. So I think those are two good examples. But here and Mark, going to wrap up really quick, but you've got a couple of shows coming up, August 17th at Martelli's BBWF War on the Shore, and congratulations on being the new ring announcer for Paradise Alley Professional Wrestling, PAPW. You'll start September 9th and the 23rd. Just a lot of opportunities, my man. And what's the best advice you can give anybody right now, that not just in the wrestling podcasting or in just in general of hustling, what would you say would be the first thing that they should do?
Well, I'll definitely give you that. And then, yeah, I'll tell you some shows that I got coming up, because I want to put everyone over if I can.
Yeah,
but,
definitely.
The advice that I give everyone, and this isn't just some can't, like, I'm not coming up with this now. This is advice that I've written on Twitter before. I've told people, if they ask me, even if they don't ask me, if there's, like, in wrestling or in anything, if there's something that you're striving to do, don't spend a single day not working on it. For me, I do a lot of things in wrestling. I make graphics for promotions. I edit audio for you know what I mean? I ring announce. I do a lot of different stuff. I edit the video for BBWF. I write all the press releases for Tier 1. I do a lot in this business. And if a single day goes by where I don't do anything, I almost have a panic attack where it's like, dude, I didn't do anything today. I didn't make a graphic. I didn't do anything. And it drives me crazy. So my advice to anyone that is pursuing any kind of goal, and that's what they are, they're goals, they're not dreams until you give up on them. Anyone pursuing a goal out there, my number one bit of advice is to work toward it every day, even if it's something small. If you're a wrestler, and even if, like, you're drawing up a sketch for some new gear, whatever it is, tweet someone out, you know, reach out to a promoter, do something. Don't let 24 hours go by. For instance, today, I think you guys are really, I don't want to put you on delay, I think you have a little bit of a delay, but, like, today, when we were recording this, I posted four different matches, two different podcasts, shared them to 1,000 different groups, and that's just, like, you know, that's a slow day, and I'm not saying, like, oh, you know what I mean? But that's just something I can say, guys. That's something small that I can do from my phone, and it helps keep me out there. As the Twitter followers, it gets my, you know, and, you know, not for nothing, you just mentioned Paradise Alley. I didn't reach out to Paradise Alley. I had, you know, good word of mouth, and I'm not bragging about that. It's just, that's the kind of, you know, when you do work hard every single day and people take notice, like, that your name is popping up on everything all the time, that you're getting tagged in everything, then other people notice, and then it's just a snowball effect. And so that is my advice.
Yeah, Mark, obviously you're very humble, and again, I think you know you're good, and I think that humbleness is one of the best aspects about you.
Thanks.
But listen, before you go,
and also the mere fact, Jeff, that he's always hungry, he's always constantly doing something, which is what people fail to do sometimes. Like what Mark said before, early on, people think, oh, when you do a podcast or something, oh, it's going to be easy, it's going to be fun. No, there's a lot of hard work that goes into it, not necessarily just doing the show, but promoting it, getting it out there for people to listen to.
Yeah,
and if you're 100% right about that, man. And like I said, I wasn't just blowing smoke before. Well, maybe I was, but that has nothing to do with that. I wasn't just, like, telling you guys because I'm talking to you right now. Like, you guys really do. You put in the work, and I admire that. And, hey, like I said to you before, I listened to your show before I even knew who you guys were. You know why? I'll tell you right now, and this is some more advice. Look professional. You guys look professional. Your graphic for the high spot, man, like, everything looks like toit as a toiger. It looks beautiful.
I never heard that expression before.
It's like, oh, man, let me check this out. These guys know what they're doing.
I'm going to steal your catchphrase, toit as a tiger. I'm going to take that.
Toit as a toiger, gold member, hashtag. Before I do take my leave, though, if you don't mind, can I put over some places that I'm working?
No, yes, yeah, sure, of course.
Definitely. Well, I don't want to, like I said, I don't want to just, like, send, like, a deluge of different letters at you guys. As you guys said, BBWF War at the Shore, I'm keeping track of, I'll tell you guys, on August 13th, I'm making my debut for LDN Wrestling, which is a British professional wrestling company making their debut in Queens, New York at the Queens Theater in the Park. It is going to be recorded live for Sky Sports in the United Kingdom, which everybody knows, their ESPN, mm-hmm. So it's a very big deal for me.
Congrats on that.
My cable television debut, my international debut, just a huge deal. And then, obviously, on the 17th, we have got BBWF War at the Shore in Bayville, New Jersey. Just a whole bunch of different dates that I don't want to throw at everyone, but I will do the quick, like, you know, closing credits SNL thing where I just rattle off the people that I work for. And that's Battle Club Pro, Wrestlers Lab, LDN, Tier 1, BBWF, Dynasty, World of Hurt, Paradise Alley, EPWE, and then two others. One that you did not mention that I also just got booked for that I announced this week is UFO Wrestling in Boston, Massachusetts. Going to be making my debut there on August 23rd. And then how about this, guys? You want some breaking news?
No, definitely. Give it to us, man.
I want some breaking news that nobody else knows yet except for the people involved with the deal. You ready?
Let's do it, man. Let's do it.
I am going to be making my debut for Legendary Action Wrestling, that is Frankie Flo's promotion, in Bridgeport, Connecticut, and that is on the, I believe, the 17th of September. So really, really looking forward to that. That is the 11th promotion that I've worked for in the 11 months that I've been working in this business, if you can believe it.
Wow, that's crazy, Mark. Like, when do you sleep? It's like Jeff and I we're vampires in the night, and we barely sleep during the day. You know, it's just a perfect example, Jeff, of Mark's hustle. I mean, he's constantly booked,
and he says he'll go anywhere. He said before that he'll go anywhere. You book him in Texas. If he's not booked, you want to go.
100%.
Yeah.
I put 100,000 miles on my car. From, you know, driving from California, just like all over the place, but also just like, you know, obviously making towns recently, and I just got a brand new car. I am legit willing to go anywhere, absolutely anywhere. And I'm going to be making my debut in South Carolina in October. It is a lot going on, obviously, and you know, I can't call myself humble because I don't hear it in myself, but it is one of those things where, like, every single day I take stock of it. And if anybody out there, like, people that like me, people that dislike me, like, I don't think for one second that any of this is lost on me. Like, I realize how lucky I am. I realize, like, what a great situation that I found myself in. And I owe it to a lot of people, like, way too many to ever name. And I guess the thing that I would leave you with, though, is the one thing I tell people. And that's like, people are always like, you know, the haters are going to hate or whatever. And my thing is like, I don't want haters. I want everyone to like me. That is the thing. So if you guys are hating on me, that's fine. I wish you wouldn't, but, I want everyone to like me at the end of the day.
Hey, but if they hate you, it's good heat though.
It's good heat.
It's good heat. And it gets you over.
If I turn heel, that would be good. But until then.
And ladies, remember he's single, but you have to understand this. That if you do choose to date the man, the myth, the legend of Mark Haggerty, that wrestling is his mistress right now. So that's correct.
That's all they need to know.
And Mark.
Oh, real quick, one thing I wanted to ask you. You said you're a huge James Bond fan. Excited that Daniel Craig's coming back to reprise the role?
Dude, I'm excited that Daniel Craig is coming back. I'm excited that they're going to be pulling from a Raymond Benson novel, apparently, which I'm a huge fan of. I'm a little curious. I really hope that they don't go in a complete... I hope it all relates back to the previous film, because to me, not to go off on a tangent at the end...
No, it's fine.
To me, okay, for people like those Bond fans out there, people are like, oh, Quantum of Solace sucked. And I'm like, no, watch Casino Royale with Quantum of Solace. It's amazing. And then I think to myself, you know, Spectre wasn't that great, but maybe we're going to have like a reverse Quantum of Solace situation. So I hope we get the second half to whatever was happening with Blofeld. But to answer your question, I am so stoked. So stoked.
And the upcoming Star Wars film, do you think this is the last of Luke Skywalker? From the way they kind of presented it with the trailers?
Well, I think it's the last of Princess Leia.
Of course.
I think... see what I did because she passed away.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
See
what's
but, yeah.
See, that's how you get heat with Star Wars fans.
I'm proud. But, yeah, I don't know. To be honest, like, I'm such like an expanded universe like snob that like I'm still one of those like it's nice what they're doing in the movies, but I'm gonna stick to my Prince Zizor and all this other stuff that doesn't count anymore. but no, I'm looking forward to that too. And I haven't. A lot of people think like they're diluting the Star Wars universe. For me, it's never enough. Just I don't want the Han Solo movie, but it is what it is.
All right, Mark. Listen. Thank you so much for your time. Now, this is the last thing before you leave. All right, I need you to do this because you plugged your stuff and you gave us a great here more than an hour time here. But I need you, as a ring announcer that you are, to announce us coming to the ring.
Wow, put him on the spot.
All right, I need at least making down to the ring. I don't need to wait. I just need maybe from New Jersey. I want to hear the Jersey Wrecking Crew in your best ring announcer voice.
Okay. So,
he's like, damn it.
He's got to get in character now.
Ladies and gentlemen, the following contest is scheduled for one fall, and it is for the Podcasting Tag Team Championship of the World. Introducing first are the challengers, being accompanied to the ring by... Daniel Bryan! How did they get Daniel Bryan?
That's crazy. Daniel Bryan's on the show.
They are the one, the only Jersey Wrecking Crew!
Wow,
thank you so much, man.
And their opponents.
Oh.
They hail from the pearly gates. Oh, the heavenly bodies are coming to kill you guys. Sorry, I didn't tell them.
Awesome.
Thank you guys very much.
Mark, thanks a lot, man.
Yeah, and even if the heavenly bodies did decide to come down, it'd be a shoot anyway.
Yeah.
We wouldn't go. We wouldn't go what the end result was going to be.
As long as they don't hit us in the back of the head or something like that, you know.
Exactly. Awesome.
All right, Mark. Take care, man. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, guys.
And that was ring announcer Mark Adam Haggard. You can follow him on Twitter at B+ Radio. Again, Brian, nothing B+ about this guy. Has his own podcast network, his own podcast show, ring announcer, always hustling, and you wish nothing but the best for him. And pretty soon, we're going to expect big things from this guy. So thank you, Mark Adam Haggerty. Great story.
Yeah, definitely. Most people would say he's made it already, but in terms of him, whatever direction he wants to go, whether that is, for example, WWE, or we joked about New Japan, and maybe in New Japan, not really hiring a lot of Gaishin. Is it Gaishin?
Gaishin, yeah.
That was a geisha for some reason. Not hiring a lot of those people for their events. But again, you said in terms of how he hustles, how he goes after certain things, he doesn't really settle on his laurels for everything he's accomplished. And I think the mentality you have to have, too, in a sense, too, is to be very humble. He's very humble, although it sounds like he's bragging a lot, guys, when you hear him and all the stuff he's done. He's still very hungry, and it's very easy for all the stuff that he's done right now in his career and still working towards more to rest on that and say, well, I've done enough, and you know, I'll let my name be enough. No, he's still going after it, and so it just shows motivation for us that we're doing something right because he's a fan of our show.
He is, and that's great. And of course, you love his enthusiasm, and a great intro for the Jersey Wrecking Crew, too. I mean, I really wasn't expecting him to go all out, but he did go all out. So really much appreciate Mark Adam Haggerty. Follow him on Twitter at B+ Radio. And thanks again.
Yeah, if the Heavenly Bodies want to go, just name the time and place.
We got Heavy Machinery first. We owe them a match first. And then we'll get eventually.
Well, we're not getting a response from Heavy Machinery. They seem to be kind of running away ever since they got their asses handed to them by the Authors of Pain. I don't hear any more talking from them. So, you know, maybe they're running away. But Heavy Bodies, anytime, any place, anywhere, you know where to find us.
Jersey, baby, come on. Find the crew. You know where we go. We'll be there September 9th at WrestlePro. Come find us. Holla at your boy. Yeah.
That was Jeff's attempt to be cool. But nice job, Jeff.
So, Brian, before we wrap things up here, a little odds and ends. You like the way I did that? You like kind of seduced the trendsetter over here.
Right? Not Jeff's getting very loose.
Brock Lesnar. Now, sent a message to the Miz Tourage and kind of, you know, got off a lot of things off his chest. Basically, Curtis Axel, Bo Dallas, and The Miz.
Got him off his shoulders, basically, not off his chest. Got him off his
shoulders, Suplex City.
Yeah.
And just your thoughts on Brock Lesnar. Do you think he walks out of SummerSlam still the WWE Universal Champion?
We'll break this down as we break off SummerSlam and break down the card. Break it down. But, yeah, I got a feeling this is leaning towards Brock Lesnar retaining the title. It just feels like they wouldn't mention this stuff if they didn't want to take advantage of the publicity of Brock Lesnar returning to the UFC, the rumors of Jon Jones like you and I talked about. I just think right now at this moment, it doesn't make sense. I mean, it could have been a perfect moment for Brock Lesnar to lose it if you still want him to look strong. But with the rumors about his contract, he's going to resign. I ultimately think he will resign with WWE. But if you're going to build it up for the whole Roman Reigns scenario, if that's going to be the direction you're going for towards WrestleMania, which would suck because we're going to go to WrestleMania, if that happens, I will be very pissed. You have him retain it because all the cards are against Brock at this moment. And to make him more of an unstoppable force, to have him beat all four competitors or walk out as champion, it works for me.
Yeah, so we'll actually give you our predictions next week, but right now we're kind of leaning
towards... I just gave you my prediction for this one, so...
We're kind of leaning towards it, so relax.
Basically gave away the main event.
Well, that's on you. People still want to hear from
you. What do you mean on me? You asked me the question.
Yeah, because
does he walk out?
It's trending now. You don't have to be like, well, you know, at the end of the give me a long spiel of what you got to say, man.
What do you mean a long spiel? You asked me, do you think he'll be walking out? It's like, yes. And
well,
I said,
yeah,
why?
Give me the Gettysburg Address and don't just say, yo, I'm leaning towards maybe this.
Oh, I'm sorry, because if I give you a one-word answer, you're going to think I'm not interested in it. Okay, whatever. Move on. You're sleeping on the couch tonight.
How about Seth and Dean Ambrose? Their saga continues. Will you just guys hug it out? I mean, honestly, God, this is just so
talk about insulting our intelligence. The mere fact that they're really... I'm surprised that the crowd's actually really into it. I'll be honest with you. They're chanting, yes, yes, because they want these two to make up. But for the fact that he backstabbed the Shield, hit them with chairs, all the history that Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose have.
Why wouldn't you be
the mere fact for Seth Rollins to be like, let's bury the hatchet. I'm not the same guy I once was. So like, please give me heel Seth Rollins, because at least that guy was cool. This version of Seth Rollins, I can't really, you know, I can't stand anymore. It's getting to the point where it doesn't feel real to me. And Seth Rollins is like, give me a second chance. I'm not the same guy I once was. Wait till it happens again. Then the crowd, for those of you who cheered, you're the idiots.
I love it for Dean to be like accepting him, and then after that, it just turns out that he turns on Seth Rollins. That'd be great. But you know who the real victims are here? It's going to be Sheamus and Cesaro, because I feel like you're going to get new tag team champions down the road, whether it's at SummerSlam or, you know, down the road. And in the future, I think Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose are going to be taking those tag team titles.
Yeah, it seems like they're building it towards that, but how sad is that for the mere fact you're taking two of your talented singles guys to put them in a tag team? We could say the same thing for Cesaro and Sheamus, except they weren't going in no direction.
But they have a resume, though. They've worked hard.
They do have a resume, but they have nothing more for them but tag team gold.
And to take the titles away from them now is just...
Yeah, and now...
So hard.
Yeah, and with the whole revival injury, that tag team division is very depleted, so you have to bring guys like Seth and Dean Ambrose in there.
Braun Strowman gets the win in the last standing match, so he's got momentum going on there. AJ Styles and KO, just can they trust Shane McMahon? That's going to be an interesting dynamic as we head into SummerSlam. John Cena's got an opponent, and it's going to be Baron Corbin. I know you're excited for that one, seeing the skinny fat dumpster truck take on John Cena. Your thoughts?
It's just a place filler. I think it's going to lead towards a bigger thing post-SummerSlam. Maybe post-main event after the WWE Championship match. Who knows? I think for this, John Cena just basically needs something, because John Cena cannot be off of SummerSlam for some freaking reason, because we know he's going away. He's going to, you know, do the movie with Transformers, Bumblebee movie. He can't go away and not be on the card. So that's basically, you get a John Cena match, guys. So all you little girls and all you women out there and all you ones, you know, buying your merchandise, enjoy it. You have a John Cena match at SummerSlam.
Yeah, something that was peculiar was the whole Jinder Mahal Randy Orton match, because I'm thinking, okay, Jinder Mahal, he's getting ready for his matchup against Shinsuke Nakamura at SummerSlam. Want to make him look strong. They kind of want him, you know, continue his momentum, whatever it was left in the Punjabi prison match against Randy Orton. And then all of a sudden, in a non-title match, Randy Orton gets a win. You talk about ultimate head scratchers, and I always sit here, I scratch my head, and people say, yo, Jeff, wash your hair. This is the ultimate head scratcher, because I don't understand what this does. It didn't mean anything. You're getting, instead of making Jinder Mahal look good heading into SummerSlam, building that match with Nakamura, Randy Orton gets a win that really wasn't that much needed, or really means anything at all.
You just basically answered my question, the question you were trying to ask me, or trying to put in my direction. It didn't mean anything. And you thought maybe Russo was going to interfere. This way, Jinder Mahal is going to have the one-up on Randy Orton. It worked that way towards the end of the show. But yeah, it just doesn't make any sense. Maybe this was a farewell to make Randy Orton kind of on the good side of it, although he lost the title. He gets a win over Jinder Mahal. Great.
A farewell for what?
Jinder Mahal, a farewell from that rivalry, because he's not in the main event title picture anymore.
Man, these guys are... ass backwards.
And to have Jinder Mahal finally lose clean, because the Sin Brothers weren't there. just makes you think, okay, well, if he loses clean against Randy Orton, how much of a shot does he have against Shinsuke Nakamura? We'll find out. I like the Shinsuke-Jinder Mahal dynamic. As for Randy Orton, he's obviously going to get one over on Rusev because Rusev has no chance. But hey, the WWE has surprised us before on something like this, but who knows? But in terms of this storyline, we're 2 weeks away or less than 2 weeks away from SummerSlam. Who really cares about Rusev and Randy Orton right now? Not a lot of people.
And that looks like it just was put together like last minute.
Which a lot of stuff is put together last minute. John Cena, Baron Corbin, last minute.
But you know what will be put on last minute is our coverage for SummerSlam. It starts next week. SummerSlam coverage all begins with NXT Brooklyn and all begins also with our post show and our SummerSlam post show as well. But before that, we got one final show left before we head to SummerSlam, and that is our SummerSlam preview show. And we've got an amazing guest coming for you next week. And listen, once I announced it, I kind of teased it on Facebook to make sure that you know, we had you guys interested. But we will reveal this guest right now, and I'm so looking forward to one of the best podcasts, if not the best wrestling podcast out there, Something to Wrestle With, Bruce Pritchard and Conrad Thompson. Conrad Thompson will join us next week here on the High Spot Podcast. So the guests really are just going to be amazing for this weekend, the SummerSlam weekend. We'll have tons of surprises too with our post shows for NXT and SummerSlam. But man, Conrad Thompson joins the High Spot Podcast, and I cannot wait to say what happened when,
God damn it,
Conrad Thompson joined the Jersey Wrecking Crew on the High Spot Podcast.
Well, Jeff, like I said, we're excited. A lot to look forward to next week as we are approaching SummerSlam. After having Conrad on the show and with all the posts we're going to do and all the coverage we're going to have for SummerSlam, this SummerSlam weekend, Jeff, is just going to be
too sweet.